God's love unseen surrounds your life. Isn't that a beautiful line? It's so true, too. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. A nationally known pastor was involved in a question-answer session. He was on stage with some prominent church leaders and also lay people who were very involved in church work. And the pastor just responded to a question when one of the leaders on the panel, when he was shocked to see someone stand up in the audience, shocked because he thought he recognized the man. You see, this person who stood up seemed out of place at this conference, but the person was a friend the pastor knew from way back when, from his past. This friend had never seen this man, this pastor, on the stage as a Christian, much less a pastor. They had been old drinking buddies together, and they also did activities that neither one of them were proud of now. When the man from the past was recognized, he came straight to the point. He asked the pastor, "Could you tell me how you became a Christian and a pastor? I knew you as a young man, and there is no way that you would be doing what you're doing now in my mind." The pastor on the stage replied, "Hello, Joe. It is good to see you. It's been a long time. I'm glad you're here. How did I become a pastor? Jesus Christ changed my life." Well, Joe, that wasn't enough. He followed up the question with, "If Jesus Christ changed you, how did it happen? How did he get your attention?" The pastor responded, "He got my attention through my wife." Joe then said, "In the past, you didn't seem to care much about what your wife thought. What changed if she means so much to you now?" "Well," said the pastor, "it was nothing that she said, it was what she did." Joe laughed. "What in the world could she have done to change you?" The pastor responded, "Do you remember how we would stay out late and drink and party? Then I would try to slip into the house without her knowing. It never did work. When I would see her, I'd either be ashamed or very angry. I always expected her to yell at me or cry, but she never did that. When she would hear me come in, she would get out of bed, get beside the bed, and kneel and pray. And she wouldn't stop praying until I got into bed. She would stay on her knees for a long time. She said she was praying for me. God used her to open my heart and mind to Jesus. A tough man can cope with a nagging wife, but a praying wife will get you every time." It could be a praying wife, a praying husband, a praying parent, a praying friend. Our scripture today actually starts with Jesus' disciples saying, "Teach us how to pray." What Jesus teaches them is not so much about the mechanics of prayer, but instead he taught them about the nature of God. And in his lesson, that God is a very good God, very compassionate God, merciful, grace-filled, who loves us. In two short stories, Jesus tells us and teaches us volumes about prayer. The first one is, to me, is humorous and improbable. So let me update it a little bit, okay? A man has a friend who comes to him on midnight on Saturday, and he's ringing the doorbell repeatedly. And the man opens up the window from the second story, and he cries out, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you here so late?" And his friend says, "Hey, I need some taco shells." Told you it's updated. Because we're having a party, and my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law showed up late. And I know we had some at your house the other day, so can you give me some taco shells? And the man looks down from the window and says, "You gotta be crazy. You're here for taco shells at this time? We're all asleep. You're waking us up." Slams the window shut. But the man's friend starts now banging on the door. And he won't stop. So the window goes up. "Hey, are you crazy? All four of us are sleeping. What are you doing, you blankety blank?" I'll leave you to fill that in. But the friend doesn't stop. He keeps banging. So the man finally gets up, goes down to the kitchen, gets some taco shells, opens the door, throws them at his face and said, "Here, goodbye." So what was the message Jesus is teaching in this parable? Was Jesus teaching us that we need to pester, badger, nag God about our requests? Is that how we're supposed to get results from our prayers? No. It's absolutely not what this parable is teaching. The disciples are compared to the people, the man who is knocking at the door. But the man who's asleep is contrasted with God. Because God's not like that man. God is a loving God, more willing to hear and to act. He doesn't have to be pushed. He doesn't have to be harassed. He honors persistence in prayer. The second parable has a similar message. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, instead of a fish, will give him a serpent? And if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you who are evil, that's talking about us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for him? The contrast is between earthly fathers and the Heavenly Father and what he's like. The whole point of these parables is about a contrast. God is a great parent. He's a loving parent. Consistently, unendingly, always, unfailingly. We're not coming to someone to whom we have to bargain or cajole or appease. We're coming to a father who delights in supplying the needs of his children. If you know the gospel of Jesus Christ, as I know you do, you might think of two verses in Romans chapter 8. I did. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, we have a friend. We have an ally. We have a divine parent. Our Heavenly Father. But the problem is we do ask for things, good things, and they don't come. We don't receive them, right? We pray about things and we don't seem to get any answer. There's a cartoon in which a little fellow said with disgust, "Uncle Jim still doesn't have a job. Sis still doesn't have a date to the prom, and Grandmom is still bellyaching about her problems. And I am just tired of praying for this family and not getting any results." But if we have a loving God, which we do, who has infinite wisdom and eternal perspective, then we ought to trust his timing and know that he's giving us what is best for us. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is not what we want. A woman was looking at a birthday card for her husband, She found an interesting one. On the outside, it read, "Sweetheart, you are the answer to my prayers." Then she turned to the inside and it read, "You're not what I prayed for exactly, but apparently you're the answer." Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. I truly believe that God answers every prayer of a believer. As parents, if our children ask for a bag of candy, we're going on a car trip and asked for a bag of candy, what would you say? No. We don't want them throwing up in the car, right? We know it's not good for them to eat a whole bag of candy. Would any of your kids, if you had children, would they do that? Mine would. Mine would. But you and I persist in praying because we have confidence in Christ, the one who shed his blood for us. We honor our Father when we believe undauntingly. We pray with expectation and know that he loves us. Now, I wrestle with prayer like probably all of us do. And I need to hear these words that I'm preaching to you. I need to apply them to myself. But it made me think, do you know that verse in Scripture where it says we need to become like little children if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven? And I thought about that, and I listened to some other sermons on prayer, and I want to talk about toddlers for a second, okay? They're little children, right? Little people. And there are two truths about toddlers that inform us about prayer. First of all, toddlers are helpless, and they know it. I want some ice cream. Now, they need us to get to the freezer to scoop it out and give it to them, right? Or I want this, or I want that. They can't do it, but they know you can, and they want you to do that, right? Then the second truth about toddlers, I love toddlers. It's my favorite children's age, right? The second truth about them is that they have confidence in their parents' love for them. So, for instance, if parents are disciplining them or something like that, you know, toddlers can also do tantrums, right? They grow, you know, our grandchildren, I won't preach this in the next service because they'll be there. But when they're done eating, the little one will throw food right on the floor, which, by the way, we have carpet. You know, and they get disciplined or something like that. But you know what? They know that their parents love them. You have to be mean and evil to your children over years before they finally recognize that you don't love them, right? And that's sad. But most toddlers know that their parents love them. No matter, you know, that's why they can throw tantrums. It doesn't matter because the parents will love them, right? My children would ask, you know, for Coke. The first time our kids had Coke, it was like they were taking a drug. Ding, you know? And from then on, they called it Coke juice. We want Coke juice. They might have said, we want cocaine or something like that. I mean, that's the way it affected them. They were, boom, you know? But they knew we loved them even when we said, no Coke, no Coke. And they would persist because they thought it was good for them. And they would say, no, Coke juice, please, Coke juice, Coke juice. One of my grandchildren, again, I'm not going to do this over there, loves dessert, any kind of dessert. And she loves seconds and thirds in dessert, right? And she keeps asking. And finally, the parents say, I mean, they're pretty good parents. They say, no, at one dessert, that's it, no. Right? But the no is because they love her. They love her. Please don't share this over with anybody. Okay. Oh, that's right. It's online. We need notes here. Yeah. This is online. I love them. And they're great parents. They may be most exceptional parents that you could ever imagine. Yes, so we're to pray like toddlers. We know we're helpless, and we know he loves us. You know, there is one person who prayed that and believed in the Father, but the Father would not listen. One person, and that person was Jesus. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed three times, if there's any other way except going to the cross, let it be, but not my will, but yours be done. But the Father didn't listen at all. When he was on the cross, Jesus cried out to the Father, but he didn't hear from the Father. There not only was there darkness, there was complete silence. He was forsaken. Of course, we know the gospel. He did this for us. He took on the punishment of being forsaken by God. He took on the silence of God for us so that God would never be silent with us. Never. He's promised to hear every prayer. This is the gospel of Jesus. He took on all our sins, and he gave us his righteousness and a listening ear of the Father. We're part of the family. I want to close the message today with five practical concerns about prayer. Number one, many Christians, maybe you, feel uncomfortable about praying. Nothing sends a shock to saying, you're being called on to do a public prayer. You know, they do that in Baptist churches. I thought maybe that would be good here. I'll point to somebody and you give a little prayer, right? And we won't see you for a month. Right? Right. Some are disappointed in themselves for their lack of prayer and how they do it. But the important thing to remember is not that you have to be eloquent with prayer. Few are. But the simple fact, just pray. Pray. That's what God wants. He wants you to pray. And pray often. Number two, secondly, the question's often asked, is there anything too small to pray over, pray about? The answer is no. Nothing's too small, too unimportant. However, having said that, there are some things that are more important to pray about than other things. And we should concentrate on those, I would think. Number three, thirdly, we should not pray for something explicitly against God's word. For instance, we shouldn't ask God to help us to get away with stealing or lying or adultery. We shouldn't pray for that. What should we do? Repent of it in prayer, right? But not pray for it. Fourthly, our scripture indicates in our praying that there's a progression. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Asking is making direct requests from God. So we pray, it's good to pray for ourselves and others, right? We ask. Seeking is asking plus acting. If we need money, for example, we pray that the Lord provide us money, but then we go get a job and work hard to earn it. So we're asking, but we're also acting. And then there's knocking. Knocking represents persevering in prayer. Knocking is asking plus acting plus persevering. And as you mature in Christ, you do a lot more knocking, right? Asking, acting, persevering. Oh, number five, finally, what's the most important thing to pray for? I think there's an indication of that in our scripture. Most important thing to pray for is the filling of the Holy Spirit. because the Holy Spirit attaches you to Jesus in the gospel, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live the life that Christ gave to us. To live believing that the Father is our wonderful God, our parent who loves us. The Holy Spirit leads us to see this and know that and live it. So I want to encourage you to pray. And pray like a toddler is with their parents. Know that you're helpless, but know that your parent, in this case, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, love you and want to provide you what is very best for you. And someday, when we're in heaven, we'll look back at our life and we'll see, yeah, he did give us the spouse we needed. He did provide us this. He did give us this. He did give us that. We'll see that all things work together for good to those who love him, called according to his purpose, and he answers all our prayers. Pray, ask, and it shall be given. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Please rise.